difficulties in our life. Right. In that because we have come to Jesus and he's so sweet that he's just going to move all the mountains out of the way. Like they're just going to be dispelled. Like we don't have to go through anything. It's just going to be a clean, straight walk in the light.
That's right.
But I want you to look at what Jesus Christ says here. In St. John, let me get to it first. St. John 16 and 32. Let's start at the 32nd verse. It says this. It says, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone." He says, "Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Mm-hmm. And he goes on to say, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in ye you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Mm-hmm. I have overcome the world." And I want you to think about, this is Jesus Christ, who is an example, who was all point tempted like as we are, right, who took on flesh and blood.
Yes, sir.
He did it for each and every one of us. For each and every one of us. And he says this, "Ye shall have tribulation."
You'll have it.
Not you might. Mm-hmm. Not it may be possible. "Ye shall have tribulation." But he doesn't leave us with that. He says this, "Be of good cheer." Mm-hmm. And the reason that we can be of good cheer is this. He said it in the 32nd verse, because the Father is going to be with you. And you're not going to be alone. Jesus Christ said, "You're going to be scattered out, and it's going to look like I'm alone," mm-hmm, "but I'm not alone." Mm-hmm. He was on the cross. It looked like he was alone. He was up there, you know.
You did look that.
He wasn't alone. The Father was with him. So what we're going to try, no, not what we're going to try. What we're going to do today, mm-hmm, is enlighten you on how we go through our tribulation. How we handle it, how we recognize as saints, the battle is not my battle. You know whose else battle it is? It's Elder Stacy's battle. It's Minister Jeffries, Elder Jeffries' battle. Mm-hmm. The battle is the Lord's.
Right.
And if the battle is the Lord's, then it's also the people of God's battle.
Right.
We fight together. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? Are you ready to go? Let's go. All right. So it says here, "Be of good cheer." Mm-hmm. "I have overcome the world."
Right.
Right? Then he says, I'm sorry, I got behind myself. I'm going to read the 32nd verse again. It says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And so, Minister, yes.
So when looking at tribulations, there's all types of tribulation. You can have spiritual battles, and you also have natural battles that you deal with. There's certain things just that comes up from day to day. But I do believe this, that God is concerned about the spiritual things and also the natural things that we go through. So right here when he said, in the world you shall have tribulation. Now, when you say the world, that can be anything. That could be spiritual things, mm-hmm, things on the job. And to be honest with you, a lot of us face things on the job from day to day.
Right.
That's tribulation. But what we hope to do today, we hope to enlighten you on something, how to deal with those tribulations. Because how you deal with it is how you're going to come out at the end. Because sometimes you could go into the tribulation in the wrong way. Not being cheerful.
Right.
Right? And sometimes when you're in a tribulation, it kind of wants to put you in a bad mood. It kind of wants to put you in a situation where you don't want to believe in God and don't want to praise God. Mm-hmm. But he said here, go on and say, "But be of a good cheer."
Be of good cheer, right?
How do you do that?
It sounds strange, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's in a tribulation. How do you be of a good cheer? You can do it. Jesus said you can do it.
You can do it, right.
Because he said, "I have overcome the world."
So So can I ask, if he says that he has overcome the world, mm-hmm. where does that leave his saints or his people?
Where that leave us?
Yes.
That we have to trust in him.
We have to trust in him?
We got to trust in him. We can't always fight the battle. Because sometimes we want to work out situations, but we're not able to. So we have to look to him.
If he has overcome the world, and he was our example mm-hmm. as a saint, can I overcome the world?
Yes.
As a saint, we should. Exactly. That's exactly yes. right.
That's exactly right.
Yes, sir.
We can overcome. And the good thing about it, we don't have to fight this battle alone.
No.
We have one another. We have one another.
Exactly
Jesus
right.
wants us to help one another.
Exactly. Exactly.
To love one another.
Right.
So
here's the thing. Here's one of the things. The mindset and knowing what our battle is. Because sometimes we think we may look at a battle as being against a particular person. Mm-hmm. This person is coming against me, and we're looking at that person or that individual or this circumstance. As the actual battle. But in a lot of cases, in most cases, that is not the battle. That is not the wrestle. Because we don't really wrestle against flesh and blood.
That's right.
I want you to think about that. Because a person may be presenting a battle for you, but the battle is not necessarily the person. It's the position of your mind.
That's right.
In recognizing, this person doesn't like me. He might not like me, or he may not be treating me right. But it's not, my battle is not with him. My battle is with my getting my mindset to love him anyway.
That's right.
So let's look at Ephesians, the sixth chapter. We're just going to talk about what the battle is, right? So it says here, and I can read it for you. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we're informed here to say, it says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And then having done all to stand, stand therefore. And this is something I want you to look at. It says, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. All right. So this is our battle. And then he also informs us in how to fight the battle, mm-hmm. right?
That's right.
And do you not know that even with all of that said, when we do fight against the spiritual wickedness in high places, when we fight against principalities, when we don't have to do it alone.
That's right.
The Bible says this. It says, cast all your cares of what?
Upon him.
Why?
He cares for us.
For he cares for you. He cares for you. And you know how he cares for us? It's not Jesus. He's not coming down out the clouds to care for us. Right? You know who cares for me? You know who cares for me? Minister Camp.
Mm-hmm.
Elder Marvin.
Right.
Our very fine bishop cares for us. He cares for us. Right? And so we can what we're able to do is cast our cares upon each other.
That's right.
The Bible talks about in Acts how it talks to us about how we should, it says how they all continued in apostles' doctrine, right? And then fellowship and then break it. We're familiar with that, right?
Yes,
what is that, like Acts 2 and what, 42?
Yes, around
40. Right?
Yes.
All right, Acts 2, 42, somewhere around mm-hmm. there. It talks about breaking the bread and the fellowship and then prayers. And it's the reason why it's important for us to fellowship and to break bread with one another, because during those times, you know what we do? We communicate. Mm-hmm. We communicate with each other.
Right.
And in communicating, sometimes what you begin to do is cast your cares upon somebody else. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You get into a situation where you begin to do what James talks about. You can begin to somewhat confess your faults.
Right.
One to another, right? And so as we do that, then what you begin to find out as you begin to talk to some of these people, like I heard the elder say on the, we never, you couldn't imagine mother Brother Robinson being an evildoer or something like that. You couldn't imagine, right? You might not could imagine. But if you sit down and talk with Mother Robinson, right, you may find out that some of the things that you're going through, they have been accomplished in Mother Robinson. Because Mother Robinson didn't start off as Mother Robinson. Right?
Right.
Elder Battle didn't start off as Elder Battle. Bishop Jeffries had always been 85. You know, always been 85, right? He hadn't always been 85. There was a process. So there were some things that had to be accomplished in him. And as we talk to one another, as we communicate with one another, we find out that we're each other's helpers. And in that battle that you may be facing, that battle that you might have, it is not yours alone. Mm-hmm. It is our battle. And we help one another. Yes.
Yes. So that brings me to a story in the Old Testament. And it was a story about the King Jehoshaphat. And he was a king over the children of Judah. And he came against a situation. This is in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. We're going to kind of just talk about it. And he was over the people of God, and they was faced with a battle. And the people that was coming against them, it was so troubling to him, he actually went to God. He went to God. And he asked the people also to go to God with him. So let's look at the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles, first verse. And it came to pass after also the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Okay? So these people that was coming against him was a great number of people. And sometimes when you get in a battle, sometimes that battle can seem overwhelming.
Right.
Sometimes it can cause you, if you're not careful, it can cause you to lose your concentration. And so what you have to begin to remember in your battle, you got to remember to go to God.
Right.
When it gets like that, when it gets to where it gets to where you can't figure it out, it's time to go to God at this time. So let's read on here. It says here, then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side of Syria. And behold, there be in Hazantamah with Egdi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. You see that?
Yeah. Could you pause right there? Mm-hmm. Right there in the story. So one of the things that we see, Jehoshaphat is faced with a great army.
Right.
Right. So in your own lives, you may be faced with something that may be very, very serious in your life.
Right.
Right? Now, what he says here, you said that he said he feared, right? And set himself to do what?
Seek the Lord.
Set himself to seek the Lord. So could you?
And how do you do that?
Right.
It's through prayer.
Yeah.
And on top of here, it says here, in everything by prayer.
Right.
Everything. And the good thing about that, you don't have to just go to God when things are going bad.
Right.
You're supposed to seek God all the time. But here in this particular case, there's a battle.
Mm-hmm.
And he went, he feared and set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout Judah. So he didn't do this on his own.
He didn't do it. And what I like here is that he didn't set out to get greater numbers. He didn't go out. He didn't seek his own way. He sought the Lord.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. And so when you come together, just like in the book of Acts, when they came together and they continued, God was showed favor among them because they was of one accord and of one mind. See, when you're in a battle, it's easy to get off to yourself and to forget about to join yourself with like-minded people. It's easy to do that because sometimes you feel like you may be the only one that's in that battle. And so at that point, it's time to go to God because you can lose focus and it can cause you not to look to God in that battle. So let's read on here. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask of what?
Help.
Of who?
Of the Lord.
Of the Lord. They ask for help. Are you asking for help when you're on the job? Mm-hmm. When you're having a real hard day? Do you ask for help? Or do you try to work it out all the time yourself? And what I find out, Minister Terry, when I try to work things out myself in my own way, it don't work out too well. It really doesn't. Sometimes I may overstep myself. I may try to go a little too fast on trying to fix the problem. So it says here, to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to what? Seek the Lord. They came together. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to come together. Come together in God. See, the thing is, back in the Old Testament, God will come down in the mountain and in the tabernacle. But what he is now, he's living in you and I.
Right. Exactly.
See, when we come into the house of God, if we are of God, we bring God with us.
That's right.
And what we're supposed to do, we're supposed to come together, and we're supposed to come together and admonish one another and encourage one another.
Exactly.
And seek God together.
Right.
And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. You see what they did? They came into the house of the Lord.
Right.
And stood there. And what he began to do, he started praying.
Yes.
He started praying. And I believe the people was on one accord with him. And we're not going to read all of it. Let's jump down and let's see what happened. Let's go down to the 13th verse.
Yes.
And all Judah stood before the Lord and with their little ones, their wives and their children. And then upon Jehaziel and the son of Zechariah and the son of Benaiah and the son of Jeiel and the son of Mataniah and the Levite of the sons of Asaph came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. You see what happened? When they got on one accord, the Lord came in the midst of the congregation.
Right.
He began to move. Because when you get in a real hard trial, you really get concentrated on God. You kind of put out all the distraction. You're not worried about the little small things. You really are focusing on getting an answer from God. And sometimes when you do that, you may do a fast, you may do this or that, but you're concentrating on God out of an honest heart.
Right.
And I believe when you do that, God moves for you. Let's read on. And he said, hearken ye all, Judah, and all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord unto you, be not what?
Dismayed.
Afraid nor dismayed.
That's right.
By the reason of what? This great multitude. So what he's saying is, don't look at the trial of the battle you're about to face. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid.
Be of good cheer.
Be of good cheer. And it says here, I like this. For the battle is not what?
Not yours.
Yours. But God's.
But God.
It belongs to God. You see that?
Yeah.
That's powerful, isn't it?
It is very, very powerful. And so some may be thinking, why are we reading Old Testament. Somebody might be thinking that, so I'm going to address it. Why are we reading the Old? I know some of my young people. I know when I was young, that was me. Why are we reading the Old Testament? Can't pronounce these words.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The things written aforetime were written for our learning.
Yes, sir.
That we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And the hope in this story that we just read, and some refuse to read, because it seemed a little difficult. But the hope in this story is this: we don't face our battles alone. You don't have to cleanse yourself from the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit by yourself. Because some, holiness is so difficult. Living clean is so hard. I can't love everybody. Not everybody. I can love most of the people. But not everybody. Because you're looking at it as being a huge task. But you don't realize the help and the support that you have. You don't go through this by yourself. Right. And I know people are saying the song, I'm going to go even if I have to go by myself. Nobody should have to go by themselves. You mean to tell me I got to go by myself? All the power that God had, I'm the only one?
No, sir.
You don't have to go by, through it by yourself. And the difficulties and the problems that you're facing in this walk, you don't have to go through those by yourself either. What we have to do is, and I know sometimes as we face problems, I'm one of those ones, I've been that way, where I need help, but I don't want to ask for it. And why don't you want to ask for it, man, or Minister Jerry? Because I haven't humbled myself.
That's right.
Because I hadn't humbled myself. I had a little pride working. In that you don't want nobody to know what you're going through.
That's right.
I want you to think about this, because some people, they're doing this. They don't want to confess their faults. So they feel like they'll just kind of separate themselves. I handled it on my own. And it's not going to work that way.
No.
You're taking on more than you have to take on.
That's right.
Because if you humble yourself, right? I think this is, let's look at this right quick.
Right.
Let's look at this. I think it's a key point to this. 1 Peter 5 and 6. Is that right? Yeah, 5 and 6. I'm bad for looking at the top of the page and giving out the wrong chapter. So 1 Peter 5 and 6, it says this: humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Right? Then, after you humble yourself, right? But as you get rid of the me, and I can do it on my own, then he says this. He says, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He's there to help you through the difficulties that we may face.
That's right.
The trials, the battles that we may have in our life.
That's right.
He's there.
He's there.
He's right there. He's right here. Because he's saying there like it's some faraway place. No, he is right
here.
And then we're going to read on. And I'm going to show you how he's here. He says this: be sober. Keep your mind right. Be vigilant. Work hard. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So, yeah, the lion wants you to be separated from the group.
That's right.
The lion wants you to think that the task is too hard.
Right.
That it's too difficult.
Right.
I can't be around them because they're a little on a higher level than I am, so I need to hold back. I need to kind of keep myself. They might see through me. They might see what I'm going through. We need to see what you're going through.
That's right.
Because when we see what you're going through, right, then you're able to help. How many people go to the doctor, right, with an issue? He asks you what the problem is, right? He asks you what the problem is, and you don't say anything. You say nothing. Well, what's been going on with you? You don't have anything to say. Well, how you feeling? You ain't got nothing to say. So how are you going to come into this place that's supposed to be a place of refuge?
Yes.
A place that we're supposed to get healing?
Yes.
Deliverance?
Yes.
And you close mouth. Nothing to say. I'm all right. Just wrong, all of you. All in your countenance, all in your everything. I'm all right. How's your walk going? It's okay. Do you study? Sometimes. Do you come out of church when I can make it? Mm-hmm. If a game ain't on.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I catch the streaming when Atlanta Housewives go off. What I'm saying is this. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm getting to. And I'm, you know, this is the place. Don't come in. How are we going to get deliverance and healing if we don't talk, if we don't communicate? Because it goes on and it says this. It talks about the devil. Because what you're doing, is you might be here, but you're isolated.
Mm-hmm.
You not want to become a part of the group.
That's right.
Service out to the car, out mm-hmm. the parking lot, down the street, and gone.
Right.
Well, sister so-and-so, she on 20. Church just let out 2 minutes ago.
Yes, sir. Right.
What I'm saying is not good. You can do that, and that's a way that we can go. But how are we going to help one another if we don't talk to one another?
Right.
How are we going to assist one another if we don't open up? So we got to take down the walls. And in taking down the walls, we humble ourselves mm-hmm. and recognize I'm not what I need to be. I need some help. That's I need right. some assistance. The battle not mine, is the Lord. Right?
Right.
And it's not mine. It's the people of God's battle. It is our battle.
That's right.
We are here to fight for one another. Right? So it goes on and says, resist whom resist. So the devil's going about seeking whom he may devour. Let's pick up at the ninth verse. It says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions. I want you to think about this. And I hit this one a lot. The same afflictions are accomplished. Meaning that people have been delivered from some of the right. same things that you're going through. Yes, you think you're the only person that had a problem with this or with that? Some of the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren. But you're never going to find out if you're out the parking lot every time service is out.
That's right.
You're not going to find out. You're not going to learn your brothers and sisters mm-hmm. if you don't never come to nothing.
That's right.
You don't never have time for nothing. You don't never have time to go to nobody's graduation. You don't never have time to go to nobody's graduation party.
Right.
And I'm saying that because these are places that we commune.
That's
and
right.
And we don't have time to go to nobody's birthday dinner. Nobody.
That's right. Right.
You that busy? I'm provoking thought today.
That's right.
You take what I'm saying. You deal with it. You internalize and deal with it for yourself.
Right.
Because it's your journey. And all I'm saying is, it's not just your journey. Mm-mm. It is our journey.
Right.
It's the yeah. people of God's
that's
journey.
That's right.
And you're not by yourself. Stop thinking that. Mm-hmm. Stop behaving yourself that way. The devil is pulling you away. The devil got you thinking that it's just you.
That's right.
I'm the only one. You ain't the only one. Mm-mm. Stop being selfish. Stop just thinking about you. You're not the only one. Some of these same people, some of these people you see every day, they ain't always wore hat to service all the time.
That's right.
They ain't always had a song of praise.
That's right.
They ain't always had a strong testimony. But they've accomplished some things mm-hmm. in being obedient to the word. And I took it to go ahead, bro.
That's all right. That's good. Now, while you was talking, I was thinking about how, and when you have a battle, you have the battle, and then you recognize the battle's not yours, and then you go into prayer.
Right.
The next part of that is the waiting part. Because when you pray, it doesn't mean you're going to get an answer right away. And that's when your patience comes in.
Yes.
And sometimes when you get impatient, what you'll do is, instead of waiting on God, you'll try to fix it yourself. Mm-hmm. You'll try to find some reason to try to fix it. And the thing, I like to refer back to the story of Jehoshaphat. He didn't try to fix it.
Right.
He actually, in the Old Testament, they, as a sign of being humble, they would fast. And they would get in sackcloth and ashes. And that was a way of showing that they was bowing themselves before God. And how we do that today is by submitting to his will. What I'm supposed to do in the waiting time, what you're supposed to do is keep on living right. Don't give up on God. Because it's easy, if you're looking at your situation, it's easy to give up on God at that point. But that's the wrong time to give up on God. That's the time you should lean upon him more.
Right.
And I like what you said about that, about we leaning on one another. Because God is in me, and God is in you. We lean on one another.
Right.
And God can help me through you. God may give you a word to say to me, encourage me, right? Or a song. See, that's how we help one another.
That's right.
So we tell you in the process, it says here in our topic, it says patiently waiting. See, you can wait. You can wait all right, but you can wait in the wrong way.
Exactly.
You can wait with a lot of complaining. Right?
That's
and
right.
We know about that. You can wait in anxiety. What it talks about anxiety, it says, be careful for what? For nothing. That's what anxiety is. When you just get so to where you don't know what to do. You just say, I'm going to just do something. That's anxiety. But God don't want us to do that.
No.
Because when we rush with our decisions, a lot of times we will make the wrong decision instead of making the decision that God wants us to make.
That's right.
Right? So just look at, I want to go over to, back over to the book of James here, the fifth chapter. It kind of goes on with what he was talking about.
James.
5 and 10. Let's do 5 and 10. Take my brethren, the prophets who had spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of what?
Suffering.
Afflictions. Do you see that?
Yes.
And of what?
And of patience.
Of patience.
Yes.
See? That you cannot, I don't see how you can successfully go through an affliction without patience. I don't see how you can do it. Because what afflictions can do, it can bring out the best in you, or it can bring out the worst in you.
Right.
It can. So it said here, let's look at it. 11th verse. Behold, we count them what?
Happy.
When you look at how Elijah, he prayed, and how he called fire down, and how people came against him, and how Moses and all these different people in the Bible, we talk about how these great things they did, and we count them happy.
Yeah.
What the scripture says here, you have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, and it's very pitiful and tender and of tender mercies. So what he's saying is, you ought to use this as your example. Even as they overcome, so will you. If you look to God, you got to look to God. And I'm going to tell you now, getting that patience, y'all know how patience comes, right?
Yeah.
How did patience come? I heard somebody say it.
Through tribulation.
Suffering. I heard somebody say, well, you shouldn't ask for patience. Well, I think whether you ask for it or not, you're going to get some tribulation.
Right. This thing is going to come.
Because the Bible say after you suffer a while.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So Let's change our mind frame of how we look at suffering.
Right.
You know, what I learned to do is, for myself, this is for myself. When I get in a trial now, because I used to be, you know, it used to be a time in time past, I used to be so quick to kind of talk down on the situation. Mm-hmm. You know, you get in that situation and say, oh, that's just not going to work out. You know, I learned through the gospel and the teaching of the gospel, I learned to wait on what I say about that. Instead of saying, oh, it ain't going to work out, I say, it's going to work out. And Lord, if it don't work out the way I want it to, it's going to always work out to my good. You see how you change the way you look at it? Because you can either look at it as I'm having a bad day, or you look at it and say, well, Lord, I'm just going through this trial, but you're going to bring me out.
Right.
You may try to get me to learn something through this. And when you change your situation, sometimes that little trial you go through, it gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And sometimes it'll go away. You don't know when it left.
Exactly.
Because you change the way you look at it.
Change the way you look at it. That's exactly right. And so, right, when we go through our trials and our tribulations with the right attitude and the right perspective, we are able to glean from the situation some things.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a situation that was for me. I was without work for a period of time, and so I was doing odd and end jobs, but not, I was without steady income. But God blessed me through all of that. But I was without steady income, and for some, as a man, in the way that I was raised and the way that I want to be the provider in my home, that was a trying time for me.
Right.
It was a trying time for me. But you know something I did in that situation? What I did, I didn't get down in the dumps because my applications wouldn't. I wasn't getting the interviews I wanted to do. You know what I did when I got through putting in my application? You know what I started to do? Clean up the house. Mm-hmm. Clean up the house. Wash the clothes. Maybe not to my wife's liking. But I'll wash them.
Right.
Wash them. Not just wash them. Fold them. Put them up.
Right.
You know what else I did? When my wife got home, her food was ready. Yeah, her food was ready. So the thing that, and you know what else? I had to deal with the children, I had to iron their clothes, get them ready, do all these other different things. And so what I was able to glean from that situation was what my wife go through, what she deals with. And so then, and then the other thing was I got to learn my children better because I was able to spend more time with them. But I could have been one sitting down when my wife got home, sitting on the couch, drinking, having a soda. I'm like, what are we going to eat for dinner?
Mm-hmm.
That's, in my mind, that's horrible. You've been at home all day. You can't boil no water. You can't do nothing. But what I'm saying is in a time that was a very trying for me, I was able to glean some things from that time. And you know what? I came through it better than it was when I started it. And so what God did, what he did was, and then another thing that I was able to do was, you know, the Bible says this in Luke, the 18th chapter, men ought to always pray. And not to what?
Faint.
Not to faint.
Mm-hmm.
Men ought to always to pray, not to faint. Don't give up. Don't take down. Don't think God has abandoned you because you got to go through something. No, that's the trying of your faith.
That's right.
You said you know it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Huh? Ain't that what you said?
Yeah.
You the one saying my father's rich,
mm-hmm,
in houses and land. And then because you lost a little job, now he don't have the house. He still got them.
Yeah, that's right.
He still got the house and the land. Yeah, and I'm going to get me one. And today I got me one.
Yeah.
I got a house and some land.
Yeah.
Because I didn't give up on the fact that he holds the world in the palm of his hand.
That's right.
Rubies and diamonds,
uh-huh,
silver and gold.
That's right.
My father is the king wherever I go. Now we. So how you deal with tribulation? Tribulation. what did he say? We start off with tribulation will come.
That's
it
right.
Shall come.
Yes.
Be of good cheer.
Mm-hmm.
And I say this, you're going to reap now. This is the Bible. You're going to reap if you faint not.
That's right.
Continue to pray. Continue to look to God. And I know he said look to God sometimes when things not going well. Or sometimes, let me say it this way. Sometimes people look to God as, or they begin to pray to God as a last resort.
Right.
After they can't do anything else, then they begin to look to God. But I want to encourage you to do this. Before you do anything, look to God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Before you move, look to God. And we got to patiently wait on it. It might not come today. My job didn't come. I think I was out of work, how long? Out of steady work for, almost 2 years? But you know what happened in that time? Because of the mindset that God blessed me to have. I ain't going to say the mindset. The mindset that God blessed me to have through his grace and through his mercy. I picked up jobs where I could work. Whatever I could do, I put my hands to do. And still did the other stuff. And then sometimes my wife come to me to help me with her bills. I ain't got no job. Mm-hmm. But I'm helping her with her bills. And I say her bills, they was all mine. I know. I understand how it works. And still able to do. But along the way, in those situations, I got help. People helped me.
Yes.
People say, Brother Leon Pulling was a huge help for me. Hey, you feel like work? Do I feel like working today? Man, you better go somewhere with that. What time you want me to be there? Do you feel like working? That's not, I only ask my son, do you feel like working? No, you got the time you got to be at work. But anyway. And I see Minister Thomas has come in. We're going to give him an opportunity. Give him a round of applause. So prayer is not a last resort.